Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats and silence your cell phones. The program will begin shortly. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, accompanied by the Vice President of the United States and Gretchen Carlson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Please have a seat. Good afternoon. President Joe Biden, members of Congress, and my fellow Americans, today we are gathered to celebrate the passage of a law that will make our nation's workplaces more safe and more just. Forced arbitration silences survivors of sexual assault and harassment. It shields predators instead of holding them accountable and gives corporations a powerful tool to hide abuse and misconduct. And it compels the people of our nation, and most often the women of our nation, to sign away one of their most fundamental rights, the right to seek justice in court. The legislation the president will sign today will end forced arbitration in all cases of sexual abuse. And almost equally as important, it will apply retroactively. Invalidating every one of these agreements, no matter when they were entered into. And as many of you know, it has been a long road to get to today. I co-sponsored this legislation 5 years ago when I was a senator, and we would not have reached this very moment were it not for a bipartisan group of legislators, many of whom are here today. These leaders, they saw clearly this is not a partisan issue. This is not about Republicans or Democrats. This is about right and wrong. As I think about the future, our administration will work with Congress on broader forced arbitration legislation and we will do that to also protect the rights of workers in cases of wage theft, racial discrimination, and unfair labor practices. So I will conclude today by thanking all of the people who are here and all that you represent to make this day possible, and in particular, all the survivors and their allies who spoke out and demanded change. Thank you for your courage and your resilience and for your leadership. And now I will welcome to the podium a woman who was instrumental in the passage of this law, Gretchen Carlson.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gretchen Carlson. It's such an honor for me to be here today, a culmination of a 5-year journey of hard work and perseverance. An historic day that proves that both parties can come together to get something good done. I can't think of a better way to kick off Women's History Month than by signing a bill that will make the workplace safer for millions of women. Heartfelt gratitude to President Biden, Vice President Harris, Senators Gillibrand, Graham, Grassley, Durbin, Representatives Bustos, Griffith, Majority Leader Hoyer, Jayapal, Nadler, Buck, and to so many others, and to all of your staffers, some of whom I see here today, I know how hard you worked. And today I'm here on behalf of the millions of American workers who up until today have been voiceless silenced for simply having the courage to come forward to say something bad happened at work. And in return, they got shunted into the secret chamber of arbitration. I could have never imagined that 5 years ago, after filing my harassment lawsuit against chairman and CEO of Fox News, Roger Ailes, that this day of real change could actually come. Back then, a dear friend of mine said to me, "You know, Gretchen, something good is going to come of this." And at the time, I didn't quite believe her. But you know what? She was right. Something great has come from my decision to come forward and stand alongside millions of others to say that it's not okay for companies to hide harassment and assault. A lot of good has come from walking the halls of Congress for the last 5 years to see both sides of the aisle and try to encourage them to do what's right. A lot of good will come from this law, change, that will allow survivors in all sectors to be able to have a choice. And I also believe that this law will have a dual effect. It's going to help companies get on the right side of history and be more transparent. But I believe it's also going to stop the bad behavior, because now everyone will know that women's voices can be heard. So what I found out is that marching in the streets can inspire, hashtags can galvanize, but legislation is the only action that lasts. On behalf of all American workers, I'm grateful to President Biden for making this crucial legislation the law of the land today. And I look forward, through my nonprofit Lift Our Voices, to continue fighting, as the Vice President said, for other disenfranchised groups in the workplace so they can also seek justice. I often say that I did all of this for my children, and nothing would have been complete without them here today. Kaya and Christian, thank you for your bravery and for allowing your mom to transfer my contagious courage to you. And to my husband, Casey, I know we never planned on this, but thank you for your support. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you the President of the United States.
Well, Gretchen, thank you. And are they your two children? Stand up so everybody can see you. Who's that guy in front of you? Is that Dad? Just remember, moms you get along with, you can work it out, but dads are hard to raise. Be patient. Okay? Well, look, Gretchen, thank you very much. You know, you went from speaking to millions to speaking for millions and speaking for a movement. You remind us that even a powerful job didn't protect you from having to contend. You're over this side. Sorry, for having to contend with so much you had to face. And to all the other courageous survivors, there's four here today. Would you all stand up? You're the survivors who led to this historic reform. And thank you, thank you, thank you, on behalf of my daughter, my granddaughters, all my family. Thank you so very much. Between half and three-quarters of all women report that they have faced some form of sexual harassment in the workplace. And too often, they're denied a voice and a fair chance to do anything about it. Today, we send a clear and strong message that we stand with you for safety, dignity, and for justice. And my State of the Union, I said I disagreed with the notion that we can't work together on important things. Last year, I signed 80 bipartisan bills into law, from preventing government shutdowns to reforming the military justice system, as Kristen knows very well, on a whole range of issues relating to how women are treated. Today, I'm proud to sign another bipartisan bill into law. And I want to thank the many champions of this bill, the Vice President, Representative, an old friend, Sherry Bustos. Good to see you, Sherry. And Ken Buck, Morgan Griffith, Pamela Jayapal. Where is she? There you are. Good to see you. And Senators Kristen Gillibrand and Lindsey Graham. By the way, Lindsey used to be a really close friend. I'm going to work on it again. And Dick Durbin, and I'm leaving so many people out. But look, for the folks at home, here's what this law is going to do. Time and again, women and sometimes men are forced and faced sexual harassment and assault on the job. And it took that courageous step to reporting what had happened. And some of them, when they did, they found out the reporting harassment behavior triggered a part of an employment contract they had never seen, they didn't even know existed, that they were powerless to change. A mechanism called forced arbitration. Forced arbitration is in court. In fact, forced arbitration prevents survivors from going to court. And under forced arbitration, proceedings are conducted in secret, often by arbitrators selected and paid for by the employer. And the outcomes of the arbitration are usually hidden from the public and the employees and coworkers, and they usually can't even and they can't be appealed or can't be overturned. In some arbitration clauses, you can't even acknowledge that you're bringing the claim. And parenthetically, employers can still forbid people from talking about what happened to them through non-disclosure clauses. And I think that should be changed as well, but that's another bit. When it comes to sexual harassment and assault, forced arbitration shielded perpetrators, silenced survivors, enabled employers to sweep episodes of sexual assault and harassment under the rug, and it kept survivors from knowing if others have experienced the same thing in the same workplace at the hands of the same person. And yes, there will be cases where victims want their claims resolved in private, but some survivors will want their day in court. And that should be their choice and nobody else's choice. I know there's discussion in Congress about whether forced arbitration clauses should also be banned for other kinds of employment disputes beyond sexual harassment and assault. I think it's all wrong, and they should be banned. But that doesn't cover here. Giving the employer absolute power to decide isn't how justice is supposed to work. It should be the choice of the employee about whether they want to go to court or not. I've made clear that my belief that is no worker should have to make a commitment before any dispute has arisen to give their access to justice in the courts when they believe a right has been violated. 60 million American workers are bound by forced arbitration clauses that were included in the fine print of their contracts. And many don't even know that it exists. You might have signed one without knowing it. I strongly believe no worker should have to make such a commitment. And that's why I support legislation in the House of Representatives that's going to consider in the coming weeks that would prohibit mandatory arbitration of all types of employment disputes. But look, but today marks an important step in an effort to ban mandatory pre-dispute arbitration clauses that takes the power to choose how to pursue justice away from the worker. And I'm glad that there was a broad bipartisan support and unanimity in the United States Senate that we should never be forced, there should never be a forced arbitration clause for sexual harassment and or assault. And folks, this is, I think, a momentous day for justice and fairness in the workplace. And for those who experience sexual harassment or assault, you're going to have the right today that you did not have yesterday. And that's good news. And by the way, I'd also argue that it was also good for the employers, as you mentioned. And I think it is good for the employers. If a worker experiences sexual assault or harassment, it's in the employer's best interest to address it. Many times the employer may not know. And to make sure it never happens again, employers can't successfully compete for the best workers if the workplace practices are unsafe and unjust. Employers, it puts you on the right side of the workers. And as Gretchen said, it puts you on the right side of history. And so, on behalf of the workers of today, on behalf of my daughter, on behalf of my granddaughters and grandchildren, and with gratitude for the bravery of so many women who, by speaking out, have made the workplace fairer and safer for others. I'm now going to step over here and sign this bill. And by the way, it's my hope that with the support of all the members of Congress here, I look forward to signing legislation to strengthen and renew the Violence Against Women Act. Which I first wrote and championed 3 decades ago. So, folks, it's time to get that passed, too. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to walk over and sign this legislation. And then wait up.
I can survive it. Very good. Congratulations.
All right. And usually you have a pen for everybody. I promise you're all going to get one. If they don't get one. All right? Now the wall. Okay, make yourself comfortable, everybody.